Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive number one, number two employee. Leave a message at the...
Hi, Jamie. It's you, Jamie. Don't be alarmed, but I think there's a guy following you. Maybe we should get that guard dog we talked about? Nothing too scary. Maybe like a Bichon with an attitude? You know, Progressive's collision insurance covers injured dogs and cats at no extra cost, so... Wait, the guy stood up when I stood up. He's on the phone. He's looking right at me. Oh, wait, it's just my reflection. Don't tell anyone about this.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Pet coverage not available in New Hampshire and North Carolina.
You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Celtics podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
I'm so hyped right now. Anything's possible.
Oh, my mama. Oh, my mama made it, man. Anything's possible.
Rainy days. Jump shot fade away. This the best Celtics podcast day to day. Especially when the season get hectic. I stay waiting on it like receiving a Nets pick. Nothing like the terrible analysts on the TV. So in depth you might even hear a story on Gigi. So in depth they might do an hour about the D-League. So in depth you probably should pay him, but it's a freebie. Yeah, John Corrales and Jay King. Locked on trying to get the 18th ring. So you can miss me with the blah blah. No more Geno time, we watching Jay do the Zaza.
Hey there, welcome back to the Locked On Celtics Podcast. We are here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Thanks for making us part of your daily routine Monday through Friday. Here for you, wherever you're going, to the gym, to the car, whatever it is, we're here for you. And we're here for you today after a Celtics win over the Indiana Pacers. 109-100, a game that the Celtics basically, so I never felt uncomfortable about this game. Really, but I never felt totally comfortable about it either. So, you know, it was a Celtics game. Here with me, John Corrales, is Sam Jampacker. Today, we are brought to you by SeatGeek. SeatGeek is the easiest, most convenient way to get tickets for the sporting events and concerts that you want to go to. They make a confusing process very easy. So thank you to SeatGeek for sponsoring today's show. So, Sam, I never felt like the Celtics were going to be in danger of losing this game, but damn it if they just couldn't pull away.
The classic complacency in the fourth quarter came back. They let the Pacers go on a 10-0 run, but it's a sign progress because they didn't let the lead collapse entirely. And it's the same thing that happened in the game against the Wizards. They let the huge lead, but they stopped once it got to 6 points. And that's when they kind of put on their serious face again and made sure they won the basketball game, which is better than they were doing earlier in the year than letting like leads collapse entirely. So hopefully they're headed in the right direction in the playoffs. But I agree. This game never really was in doubt. When you give up 14 turnovers in the first half and still are leading by 7 points, and you're holding the other team to, 36% from the field, you should be pretty confident heading into the second half. As long as you could kind of shore up those turnovers, which the Celtics did, going from 14 in the first to only 2 in the second half, the game really never was in doubt. Even though Paul George ended up with 37 points and he was shimmying in places, I don't know. It just kind of felt like the Celtics had this game easily.
Yeah, they had opportunities to run away with it. They didn't. But you look at that first half, and it wasn't great. But it's almost like each team took turns sucking, and it wasn't anything that either team was doing. It just that one team just decided to do stupid things. And the other team said, okay, sure, I'll take advantage of your stupid things and make my run. And then the Celtics said, oh, we're going to stop doing stupid things. And Indiana responded by like, oh, it's our turn now. And they did stupid things. And the Celtics said, okay, great. We're going to push this lead back up to 7, which was the halftime lead. And look, when you sit there and look at the Celtics shooting, they shot okay. They shot 47.5% in the first half, but they turned it over 14 times for 17 points. The Pacers outscored the Celtics 16-14 in the paint. They had a 7-2 fast break advantage. That screams to me Celtics halftime deficit, but they went into halftime up seven because Indiana just couldn't hit shit. They shot 36.5%. They turned it over themselves six times, and the Celtics out-rebounded them 28-18. They ended up taking just as many shots as the Pacers in the first half, still having turned it over 14 times. So part of this was the Celtics just kind of getting lucky. The Indiana Pacers on the road are as bad a team as you're going to find. They're terrible on the road. I don't know what the hell happens to them on the road, but they are terrible on the road. So the question, Sam Packard, you have brought up Indiana as a team that scares you in the first round, a potential first round matchup. Are you ready to retract that statement?
I am. I'm here to admit faults in the past and realize I'll be the first to admit I was wrong. And we saw tonight Paul George probably was the best scorer on the court. You put up 37, but the Pacers' defense is just atrocious.
So
they're
bad.
Just not a good team. They play with zero effort, with zero energy, with zero urgency. And just the Celtics were getting easy shots. One reason they were up at first half, they were 7 for 14 from 3. It felt like they could do really whatever they wanted. And then the second half, that just kind of happened to a greater extent. And they're just driving, getting nice passes. Isaiah Thomas is doing crazy things, just like throwing over-the-head passes to Kelly Olynyk. I mean, I don't know what the kind of blueprint was for the Pacers and Larry Bird putting together this team, but I don't know why I ever feared their team just looking at what the defensive lineups they can put out there, because other than Paul George and maybe a little bit of Miles Turner, no one on that team really strikes me as a great defender. So no, I am no longer concerned. And in fact, I would prefer to play the Indiana Pacers in the first round series, given that the Celtics have beat them all three times this year. And like you said, they have a complete inability to win on the road.
Yeah, well, it's possible that the Celtics could face the Pacers. They are currently the 2 seed. And let's see, the Cavaliers play tonight. Oh, wow. As we record this, the Cavaliers are down 73-59 at halftime. That is a bit of a surprise. So the Celtics could jump to the 1 seed. But as of right now, the Celtics are 2, and 7 is Milwaukee, but they are only a half game behind Indiana. They are playing Sacramento tonight, so they could jump into a tie with Indiana. I don't know what the tiebreaker is there. Miami is only a game behind them. Detroit is 2 games behind them. Chicago is 3. Chicago's falling by the wayside. I'm not too worried about that. So I think it's definitely possible that the Celtics will play the Pacers. And with home court advantage, they could go into a 2-0 hole very, very easily. Other big performers tonight for the Celtics. Well, let's just get out of the way. Isaiah Thomas had an Isaiah Thomas game, 25 points. He had 11 in the fourth quarter with 3 assists, another big fourth quarter. I think the star of the fourth quarter, though, was really Kelly Olynyk, who somehow only scored I was looking at the third quarter numbers. I'm sorry. Isaiah Thomas had 4 points in the fourth quarter. He had 11 points in the third quarter. My fault. Kelly Olynyk had 4 points in the fourth quarter, 3 rebounds. I feel like he scored much more. He was kind of bailing us out there for a little while. The 3 rebounds were key, but that fourth quarter scoring, actually, when you look at it, Amir Johnson had a couple of points. Al Horford had 4. Bradley had 5. Thomas had 4. Olynyk had 4. Jalen had 2. That's not bad, spread out fourth quarter scoring for a team that constantly relies on Isaiah Thomas. But I thought Kelly Olynyk for a stretch there was huge in the fourth.
I'm telling you, it was ever since he got those 5,000. He did 2 plays that we haven't seen from Kelly Olynyk. One was a kind of a step back long 2 jumper over a kind of a defender's fading away, and that of course caused Tommy to go absolutely insane and talking about how he would be a shoot 50% if he constantly take those shots. And then he did another just kind of spin move down the baseline, taking it to the basket and kind of used the rim as a protector and kind of created space where it just didn't look like he had space. And it's just, I'm here for aggressive Kelly Olynyk, but these box scores are starting to look a lot more like the Celtics offense kind of last year. We've seen Isaiah come back down to earth a little bit, so he's no longer scoring 30 a game. But with the return of Avery Bradley, it just feels like the Celtics offense is clicking and the distribution is much better. So we see Jay Crowder with 15. We see Al Horford with 15. We see Avery Bradley with 18. And that just feels like it's a lot more sustainable than just relying on Isaiah Thomas to score over 30 every single night. So it's a good thing that the Celtics can close out a game with Isaiah only scoring 4 in the fourth quarter. So I think this is a very good sign for the Celtics moving forward, because in the playoffs, we all know it's going to be a lot harder on Isaiah Thomas. So if the rest of the team can step up and get into the starters especially can get into double digits and can get above 15, I think that's going to be huge for them moving forward. Because then on a game where if Isaiah does go off, then it's like it's that much more potent for the Celtics.
Teams are really keying in on Isaiah right now. They're playing him like they would in the playoffs, which is bringing him a little bit more down to earth. And that's okay, because what we're starting to see, finally, is the Celtics moving the ball a lot. They had a few possessions. They had a couple early in the game, a couple in that third quarter, where they were really, really moving the ball around, passing it a lot, but not just passing it to pass it. Because sometimes you pass it around the perimeter, and it's just passing for the sake of passing. They were setting picks, dribble handoffs, good crisp passes, a behind-the-back pass to Olynyk, Olynyk with an interior pass to Tyler Zeller, which is one of interior passing is my favorite thing in basketball. And that is just that type of play, when they're keying in on one particular player, is perfect, because that just forces a lot of rotations, and it forces teams to make decisions, and a much lesser defensive team like the Indiana Pacers, they're going to struggle with that. It's also amazingly fun to watch for the fans. That is something that is exciting, and the Celtics have a bunch of home games left that you can get tickets to. They have 7 home games left. If you want to get tickets, if you're sitting there saying the Celtics are getting better, this is the time of year where they're going to make a big run. They're not going to rest. They don't need to rest necessarily as much as other teams, because they've got all of these home games. This is an opportunity to see some really, really good basketball. You can do it by getting the SeatGeek app. Download that SeatGeek app, because I'm telling you, I know that buying tickets online has been a confusing process for a very long time. You can go to a bunch of different sites and try to figure out where you get the best deal, but you don't have to do that anymore. SeatGeek is different. They have created this amazing app and website that makes it easier than ever for you to buy and sell tickets. I know I was at that Brooklyn Nets game where Jay Crowder bailed them out. Those tickets purchased through SeatGeek, and they were awesome tickets. I was right behind Mike Gorman. So the thing you do when you get those tickets is you open up the app, you can see with the red, the yellow, and the green dots where the good deals are. So they let you know. They do all of the research for you. They aggregate all of the sites. They search for the best possible deal. They do the legwork. So they save you time and they save you money. They get you the most bang for your buck because they grade each seat based on its value. You can set an alert. So if you want to go to, let's say, that Milwaukee Bucks game next Wednesday and see Giannis Antetokounmpo come in and a potential first round matchup there, you just plug that in and get an alert when the tickets are going up, when the tickets are going down, so you know exactly when you should buy. So it's really great. You can even plug in that seat and see what your view is. If you've never been to the Garden, you can check it out and see what the view is from that seat. So very easy, simple way to buy tickets. It works for concerts. It works for, I know there's some big comedy tours coming around. You could do it for one of those. And here's the best part. Our listeners get a $20 rebate off of their first SeatGeek purchase. So you go to your app store, iTunes or Google, whatever it is, Amazon, download the SeatGeek app. Go to the settings tab, click add a promo code, enter the promo code LO Celtics, make your first ticket purchase, you will get a $20 back. They'll send you a check for $20 after you've made your first ticket purchase. So download the SeatGeek app, enter the promo code today. You can see things like the Celtics coming up big in these late game situations like they did tonight. You look at these performances, Avery Bradley having a huge night. Look, two guys tonight were big on the boards. Al Horford, another huge night, flirting with a triple-double. Can we talk about Al Horford for a minute, Sam Packard? He has now twice in the past less than a week flirted with a triple-double. At least this time it was in a win. 15 points, 8 rebounds, 8 assists. Everybody lost their shit about Al Horford about a week ago, and since then all he's done is flirt with two triple-doubles and played really awesome basketball.
Yeah, it feels like they're just, I don't know if they're making a more concerted effort to get him the basketball, or he's being more aggressive with his when he does get the basketball, or it's just a combination of both, but it feels like Al Horford gets the ball on the left block, and it's a good chance that he's going to pound the ball on the ground, be patient. If the cutter's cut, then he'll find them and make a nice pass. But if not, he has no problem taking two steps in the lane for a nice jump hook. And I don't know if it's just it's falling more like lately, but it just feels like that shot is much more automatic. And then he's doing the same great things that he's been doing all season. But it feels like his passing is really, I don't know, it's been great all year, but it just feels like maybe he's looking to be more of a distributor. It feels like anytime he gets a rebound, a defensive rebound, he's going to make sure that he is the one who brings the ball up and starts the offense, which has been every time he does that, you're like kind of looking for him to do something because he has such good court vision. And then he's been very good defensively. And the play that really kind of sealed the game for the Celtics was his closeout on Paul George in the corner. And he jumped up and Paul George was kind of looking for the foul, and Horford went up perfectly vertical, forced a bad shot, got the rebound, immediately outlet passed to Isaiah Thomas to kind of put the game away. And it was just the quintessential Al Horford play, just doing exactly what the team needed for them to get the win.
Yeah, that was a great play. That was an awesome defensive play. Good awareness, because not only did he stay vertical, he kind of leaned back a little bit to kind of get – he saw what Paul George was trying to do, and good on the refs for recognizing that and not calling a stupid foul there. So, yeah, Al Horford's just been great. I want to talk about some low-key stuff. I want to get into a new twist that's happened recently. I'm going to go to the Rain and Jays hashtag on Twitter from @Gates_Ben. No Jonas again, but more Zeller? Tyler Zeller getting minutes.
Oh, he threw it in my face tonight, man.
As soon as he checked in, I got it onto our little notes, our interactive messaging, and I was like, here he goes. More Tyler Zeller for you. I know how much you love Tyler Zeller. He had a nice, productive night. 6 points off the bench in 10 minutes. He had he was shot 3 of 5. He was a +8, which was...
He had a block?
He had that dunk. He ran the floor. He caught a nice pass. He almost got tripped up, but still composed himself enough for that dunk. He had a nice, solid night. This was another DMP for Jonas Jerebko. I wonder, now, it's been a couple of nights. Indiana played big. They're a big team. And I wonder if Brad Stevens just wanted to match up against those bigs. I know yesterday you guys talked about them going small. And so I don't know if this is a matchup thing or if this is going to be a new thing for the Celtics, where they get a few minutes of Tyler Zeller in the first and third quarter and just kind of go from there. I don't know. Let me look it up. In the fourth quarter, Tyler Zeller played no minutes. He played in the third quarter. He got 4.5 minutes in the third quarter. And he got, let's look at the second quarter numbers. no minutes in the second quarter. So he seems to be a guy that Brad Stevens is using in the first and third to get Al Horford off the floor and stagger Al Horford and Isaiah Thomas. So Al Horford can start the fourth and the second two times where either you, especially the second quarter, where there's been a bunch of bench lineups and it's sucked. You start Al Horford now in the second quarter, and you start Al Horford in the fourth. You've got a little bit of stability. You can run the offense through him. Maybe it gets him going a little bit more. So it could be that Tyler Zeller is just a better substitute for Al Horford in that situation. But I don't know. Maybe this is going to be more of what the lineup looks like, and Jarebko suddenly finds himself getting DNP CDs.
I think you're exactly right with the staggering. I think Stevens mentioned it today that it's going to be something that they try moving forward, but it makes sense. So around the 8-minute mark of the first quarter, you're probably taking out Horford and Amir Johnson. So you're going to need some sort of option, a legitimate person with size playing the five, just to kind of bridge the gap to when Horford comes back in. And it makes sense because although you can play lineups with Jonas Jerebko and Kelly Olynyk kind of as your front line, neither of them are really have the size to play and be that rim protector. Zeller, for all the grief I've given him over the past probably 2 years, he's a solid mediocre player who knows his role, and he does it well. And like Tommy says, he has soft hands. He runs the floor well. But he's a very solid backup center, and that's what they need. That's what Brad has determined what they need. Rather than kind of having those two floor spacers, I feel like that hurts their defense more. But just as kind of an anchor, if Zeller wants to get 10 minutes, I'm fine with the kind of 10 minutes a game from Zeller. If it's just kind of that, if it allows them to stagger Horford and Isaiah, if it's just that kind of the five to end the end the first and third, I think it's an effective use of him just to kind of solidify the defense moving forward. And it just doesn't make sense to have Jonas out there, who really can only guard the four at this point. So maybe it feels like a purely a defense thing, because ideally you'd have Jonas's shooting, but it feels like Jonas and Kelly are kind of redundant at this point.
Yeah, I was just going to say that too, because I feel like it's either Jonas or Kelly. And if Kelly flat out sucks, then Jarebko will come in and get those minutes. But it's starting to feel like this is the first time in a long time we've gotten the ability to experiment with fully healthy lineups. And there's no doubt that the worst the Celtics have played has been with the all-bench lineups somewhere in the second quarter. How many times have second quarters just decimated us where teams make a run? Or end of third quarters where you pull out a few guys and teams make those runs, like against Philly. Now it looks like you put in Jaylen Brown and Tyler Zeller. Now you've got Jaylen at the four or at the three, because sometimes they'll put Olynyk in there too. So you got Jaylen, Olynyk, and Tyler Zeller. So you've got at least a 7-footer in there to do something. And Zeller can hit those mid-range jumpers. So you can pick and roll, you can pick and pop with him. It's not always going to work nearly as well as anybody else, but it's there. It's an option. He plays a much different game than Jarebko. And like you said, Jarebko's not guarding any fives, and Tyler Zeller's not locking down any fives out there, but he's at least being physical, and you don't care if he gets into foul trouble, because then you have other options behind you. But
and he only has to play other teams' backup centers.
Right.
Like he's not going against the other team's greatest players. He's basically, although he didn't really do much to stopping LaVoy Allen from grabbing 15 rebounds tonight, but it's yeah, it's perfect because all he has to do is play decent center against another backup center, which he's perfectly capable of doing.
Yeah, so when you look at guys, we're starting to get a little glimpse of playoff minutes. Jay Crowder, 35 minutes. Al Horford, over 30 minutes. Bradley, 39 minutes tonight. Kelly Olynyk, 31 minutes. Thomas, 34 minutes almost. So
Terry Rozier, DNP.
DNP. That's, I think, what we're going to see is we've gone down to the nine-man rotation. Now, early in the first quarter, I thought this was going to be a Gerald Green game because the Celtics really sucked at the beginning. They came out okay. The first like few possessions were great, and then they just like, oh great, we got this, and then they sucked for a little while. And I thought it was going to be like a Gerald Green get some energy time there, but this is the nine-man rotation. We keep talking about playoffs or nine-man rotations: Zeller, Smart, Olynyk, Jaylen Brown. And Olynyk's going to get most of the minutes. Smart's going to get a bunch of minutes. And then it's basically Jaylen and Tyler Zeller, and everyone else is going to kind of figure it out. And they're going to figure out how to kind of play and when to play Amir Johnson. So that's going to be, I think, maybe the biggest thing to watch moving forward is, will this Tyler Zeller time in the first and third quarters be the norm? And is this staggering to get Al Horford beginning of second and fourth quarter minutes going to be how it goes? And then they figure out they'll pull Horford out in the middle of the quarter and get him back in to finish the game. So
you hear that, Celtics fans? Is for the last 10 games of the season, the most thing you can look forward to is monitoring Tyler Zeller minutes at the end of the first and third quarter. I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be a blast.
Well, when you put it that way.
Well, it's kind of a serious point, because I kind of felt it at this game. I feel like I'm so primed for the playoffs right now that, like, the only feeling I can have in the remaining 10 games is that of disappointment, because the Celtics really should take care and probably win about, like, 8 of these last 10 games. And it's just like, none of the games are going to be that competitive. So I'm a big advocate for shortening the season, but it's, I don't know. It's just like, what is, other than kind of locking in on rotations, what should we be looking for in these final 10 games? It just seems like it can be nothing but kind of disappointment in their play, or they're just like blowing teams out by 30. But as Danger Cart will tell you, the Celtics are blowout averse.
Yes. So.
I don't know. I was a little bit bored by tonight's game. Maybe I'm just getting a little bit spoiled by the Celtics basketball, but it wasn't the most entertaining game, and I'm not sure what's going to bring the intensity back for the final 10 games.
No, I get that. But I do think, I mean, from a hardcore look, if you're listening to this podcast, chances are you're a little bit more of a hardcore fan. We appreciate all the fans that are listening, but if you're downloading Celtics podcasts on a daily basis, that you're at that level of, let's see if this is going to be the playoff lineup, because I think that's an interesting thing to keep an eye on. Not necessarily that it's Tyler Zeller's minutes, but watching to see how Brad Stevens is going to work this lineup in the playoffs. I think that's something to keep an eye out for. Something you should keep an eye out for, by the way, is the rest of the Locked On Podcast Network. Just want to make sure that we're giving them their proper due, because there's a Locked On Fantasy show that I think probably fantasy seasons are wrapping up. But it's, if you're in the playoffs, this is the time when you want to be listening to the Locked On Fantasy show. They daily updates on what you should be doing with your lineups. And especially if you play daily fantasy, they look at that stuff too. So even if you're not playing that, for the rest of, even throughout the playoffs, the daily fantasy is part of their mix. There's a Locked On NBA show that you should be listening to and downloading and subscribing to as well. As well as our opponents, there's a Locked On Pacers. There is a Locked On Suns and Locked On Heat and Locked On Bucks. Those teams are Locked On Magic. Those are the teams that are coming up. If you want to kind of see what our opponents are saying, if you want to see what our potential first round opponents are saying in Miami and Milwaukee, check them out, you know, subscribe to them. And when we're getting ready to play them, listen to their shows, please. I think the Locked On Podcast Network is an up and coming thing, so be sure to check them out.
Hi, you've reached the High Fashion Hotline.
Hi, my family's going to a tailgate, and I want our style to stand out from the crowd.
Just go to Old Navy.
Old Navy?
Yep, Old Navy's got all the latest fall styles. Plus, during Old Navy's colossal sale, you'll save up to 50% off store-wide.
Did you say up to 50% off?
I did, so don't sit on the sidelines. Old Navy has the perfect pants from $19, stylish dresses from $15, and comfy tees for the family from just $6 right now at Old Navy and OldNavy.com.
We're cheering for Old Navy.
High Fashion, Old Navy. Valid 10-2 to 10-10. Select styles only.
One other thing I want to get to via the Rain and Jays hashtag, just a shout out, just a public service announcement. It comes from Alex at Straight No Chaser, a regular listener and contributor via the Rain and Jays hashtag. He says it simply, "Hello, garden people. No to the wave. That is all." Don't do the wave at the Boston Garden.
Don't do it ever.
Ever. And now, I know it's a free country, and we come from a place of free expression, and I normally wholeheartedly support that. This, however, there's an exception to everything. Please, I beg you, do not do the wave at the Boston Garden. You don't want to be that fan base. Please, don't do it.
No, I wholeheartedly agree. I was raised right. I've been hating the waves ever since I've been in the Fenway bleachers. I've been told about the evils of the wave. And I'm thoroughly anti-wave. It's a bad. It's not good. It means you're more excited about people standing up around the stadium than you are the actual action on the field or the court. The only wave that I've ever heard of that I would support is apparently at the Big House in Michigan. They go like two simultaneous waves or like doing some weird patterns and like jumping across the stadiums. If you're going to do like some really hardcore wave, then I might be able to support it. But just the kind of generic thing at the Boston Garden is trash, and I don't like it whatsoever.
I just want to put that simply. So I before we wrap it up, we got to get to the what are we calling it now? You came up with a name with the brain dump that you got. The
Jams Junk Drawer?
Jams Junk Drawer, yes. I want to throw this out. I want to kind of maybe throw this into the junk drawer, or maybe be the first thing that comes out of the junk drawer. I don't know. It would lead into it somehow. I just want to say Amir Johnson, man, has been doing a lot of great things lately, and they're not showing up in the box score at all, because Amir Johnson's box score doesn't look great. If you look at this and you say, oh, 4 points, 3 turnovers, 5 rebounds, and an assist, what's that? He only 1 of 4? I got to tell you, there were times out there where Amir Johnson was single-handedly keeping possessions alive. He's done a lot, and definitely not a lot that shows up in the box score, but a lot of the little things that really, really, and I know we don't want to give this phrase to everybody, but impact winning.
No, he definitely impacts winning. He's pretty much one of the better Celtics glue guys, because we're talking about like Tyler Zeller doing like giving you competent backup 5 minutes, but Amir Johnson's really been your primary defender of centers for this entire season, and I think he's done a very good job of he's not the most athletic player, and we all know the story about his ankles, but he just gives a very solid effort every single night. Sometimes he's good for those kind of those put-back gimmies, and he'll give you kind of 10 a night, but he turns in a solid performance, and I love all the efforts from the big dog. You know you're going to get exactly 20 to 22 minutes, but it's going to be just solid all the way around. So great to pull Amir, the big dog, out of Jams Junk.
Absolutely.
Course. I like it a lot.
So here it is. I would like to come up with some sort of open if I had the time and desire to do it, but this is where I would put something in audio-wise. I think we've just given birth to a new feature on post-game shows. Jams Junk Drawer, with minimal interruption from me, just empty out the brain and the notes that you have from tonight's game.
Oh man, I my notes were not that great tonight.
After
Mike Gorman with it, Mike Gorman's got a great free throw jinx. That's always been entertaining.
I love that jinx. Basically because Mike Tommy Heinsohn has that Salem State. You that Masters at Salem State with the old witch trials reference. So love that.
Brad Stevens was very excited to talk about peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, which is hilarious story that's really taking over the NBA.
Love it.
Yeah, NBA basketball players love peanut butter and jelly, and it all started with Kevin Garnett.
Who knew? Fantastic. Your favorite peanut butter and jelly style sandwich?
This is a key. Skippy Super Chunk.
Ooh.
If you're eating smooth peanut butter, you're just not doing it right.
Super Chunk. And what style of jelly?
I like a nice raspberry preserve.
Okay.
On some wheat bread. What about you?
Yeah. See, I'm very open to all styles of peanut butter and jelly sandwich, but my favorite, it's a total departure, is peanut butter, banana, and honey. I think that is just an awesome sandwich. So it's not exactly peanut butter and jelly, but same idea.
All right, last thing in the Jams junk drawer was everyone needs to check it out. It's Brad Stevens' quote about playing Al Horford when he was coaching Butler, and Al Horford was on Florida.
It's the best.
It was just a great quote about how he's still upset about a charge that didn't get called on Al Horford. I think it was 10 years ago at this point. Anytime you can get comedic Brad, it's probably the best Brad. Like sly, sarcastic Brad, that's peak Brad. So everyone check that out. Yeah. Jay King, I believe, has a story about it on Nice Live.
We had a doctor and a dentist guarding Al Horford and Joakim Noah. So there was that. That's basically his quote. fun for Brad Stevens. Just checking in on the scores before we wrap it up. Cleveland still down 16 at this time against the Denver Nuggets. And Washington up 3 against Atlanta with 10 seconds to go in the fourth. Oh, man, so close. Well,
hold on. I can talk for hopefully 10 seconds and the game will be resulting. So this is a public service announcement to Celtics fans out there. If the Cavs do lose the game, you'll see in the standings that the Celtics are only back one game. But that is kind of the false approach, because they'll have the same amount of wins, but they'll be back two games in the loss column. So really the Cavaliers have played less games than the Celtics. So it's not exactly the most accurate to say that they're back only back one game, I guess they would be. They're really going to be back two games because the loss column is really what you should be looking at when doing that. Now, did that allow enough time for Hawks Wizards?
1 second went off the clock. That was awesome. That was awesome. But remember, like we said in yesterday's show, that the Celtics and the Cavs play each other one more time, and that is an opportunity to for the Cavs to rest. So we don't know how that's going to go. So, all right. Well, you know, I'm not going to stretch this out. I'm just going to start wrapping up the show, and then maybe I'll have an update at the end. So thank you guys for listening to us. Thanks for subscribing. If you are not a subscriber, please search for Locked On Celtics wherever it is you get your podcasts. Go to our Audio Boom page. All of our past shows are there. So if you've missed something, scroll down, find something there. Get our RSS feed. If you have some kind of different kind of podcatcher, you can plug that in there, but you can probably search and find us. If you do subscribe and you haven't rated us 5 stars, please do that, because that really helps us out a lot and helps spread the word, and that gets us more listens and more advertising dollars. This is a free show. Like Millie says at the beginning, probably should pay us, but it's a freebie. You know, you get this 5 days a week, most weeks, and we're here for you every night after a game. So rate us 5 stars. It's your little way of giving us back. Now, in all of that time I was talking, 3 more seconds went off the clock, but Washington went up 4. So I'm going to be confident in Washington holding on against the Hawks. So that's the show. Thanks for listening. Oh, by the way, providing that nothing happens, in tomorrow's show, I just talked about Millie's. Jay King will be interviewing Millie's for tomorrow's show. So the guy who did our open, who's got a bunch of great songs and some new stuff coming out, he's a local rapper, so check him out. That's going to be a fun show. Jay will be interviewing Millie's tomorrow. That'll be here on the Locked On Podcast, Locked On Celtics Podcast. We are part of the Locked On Podcast Network.